You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Monday, May 16th, and the Chicago Cubs have still not lost games on back-to-back days. They did, however, lose back-to-back games for the first time this season recently, but that occurred on the same day. Part of the Cubs' magic here in 2016, I suppose. Kerry Muscat joining us here on this Monday afternoon. And, Kerry, let's look back at Sunday's really brilliant pitching matchup between Gerrit Cole of the Pirates and John Lester of the Cubs, and kind of the, you know, the beauty and the cruelty of baseball all rolled into one. John Lester takes a no-hitter into the seventh inning, and about an hour later, he's saddled with the loss. It's kind of unfair, but that just speaks to how well Gerrit Cole pitched. Lester was fantastic yesterday despite the loss. 6 2/3, struck out 9, gave up the one run. But is this the sharpest you've seen him this season, even with all the other good outings he's had?
Well, I know that the television commentators, Jim DeShays and Len Castro, who do the Cubs broadcast, were saying that they felt that Lester looked as good as Lester looked really good. I think he's just been good since spring training, personally. I mean, and Joe Maddon has said that repeatedly. It's just that he seems to have his delivery just in a better, I don't know what the word is, better place. I mean, his delivery is just smoother. He's mentioned a few times that last year he had, you know, his leg wasn't quite right. He just was trying to do too much. The big contract and everything was sort of getting to him. And I just think that he's just in a better place personally, and that's sort of translated into better pitching.
Yeah, it sure has. He looks mechanically smoother, as you said, and as we've talked about in previous podcasts, he's in his second year in the city with the team, with the organization, in that environment, and it's all kind of led to him having a fantastic start to the 2016 season for sure. So John Lester, again, the tough luck loss yesterday despite carrying the no-no into the seventh, and, you know, there was a lead in that seventh inning. He got the first man out. Then I believe Starling Marte was the one that broke up the no-hit bid. Then I know that he struck out Francisco Cervelli for the second out. Up comes Jung-Ho Kang, another right-handed bat. Lester well over 100 pitches at this point. At that point, are you watching things and thinking, you know what, maybe Joe should go to the righty out of the bullpen here, or did Lester kind of earn the right to battle through and complete those seven innings?
Well, after the game, Maddon mentioned that when Lester struck out Cervelli, he thought maybe he had a chance to finish the inning. And he because he said Cervelli doesn't strike out that often, and felt that was sort of a key at bat, and that's why he stuck with Lester for the rest of the inning. So I guess I have to go with Joe on this one.
Yeah, it's a gut call, you know, gut feeling call. And
right.
Again, like you said, you know, he strikes out Francisco Cervelli. That's not an easy thing to do. Maybe he's got enough left in the tank to get Kang. That was not the case. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It did not yesterday for John Lester and the Cubs as they fall to the Pirates 2-1. Hats off to Gerrit Cole. As good as Lester was, Cole a little bit better. He goes 8 innings and he gets the win. Kerry, want to go back to Saturday's game, one that the Cubs won handily 8-2, but after the game is where the headlines were generated here. The Pirates were kind of chirping about Jake Arrieta intentionally hitting Jung-Ho Kang with a pitch. And as soon as I heard that, I kind of rolled my eyes and I thought that was ridiculous. And I think even Joe Maddon said, look, you know, earlier in that game, Jake Arrieta walked Jeff Locke on 4, maybe 5 pitches. So even for a control artist like Arrieta, somebody who's so precise, it can get away from him, you know, even
right.
A guy like him. So he said, the assertion that Kang was hit intentionally, really ridiculous, and I would tend to think you would agree with that.
Yes. it really is ridiculous, and I think that fourth inning when he hit him was just Arrieta was just out of whack. And after the inning, Miguel Montero, the catcher, said he took Arrieta sort of into the tunnel out in the dugout and told him, hey, you need to start being aggressive. You need to stop trying to be so fine with your pitches. And Arrieta said that was exactly the talk that he needed. And then, boom, he went out, and I think he retired, like struck out like 7 of the next 11 batters that he faced. So he settled down. But no, I think I think people are just trying to create something that isn't there. maybe with the I mean, it is a rivalry. It is an intense rivalry, which began, which has sort of kicked up steam ever since the wild card game last October. That's when it really sort of hit the zenith. And it's why would he want to hit him? I mean, if you look at the situation in that game, there was just no reason to put another runner on base. So it's and I also think that in listening to the Pirates broadcasters, I think people are a little sensitive about Gong just because of what happened last year. So with the injury to him, Chris Coughlin, you know, when they had their collision at second base, it's not like the Cubs are out to get him. That's ridiculous. And in fact, what's really sad for the Pirates people is I wish they could hear the Cubs players and Madden talk about the Pirates. There is nothing but respect from the Cubs side regarding Pittsburgh. Madden just gushes about how athletic the team is, about how good they are. Cubs may be 5-1 against them this year, but they're not taking them for granted in any way.
All great points. And, you know, like you said, this is a great rivalry that's developed in the last couple seasons between the Cubs and the Pirates, but this is not Rangers Blue Jays, as we saw what happened yesterday, the punch heard around the world, seen around the world, Rougned Odor decking Jose Bautista. It's not that, you know. It's intense, but it's not crossing a line. So again, the assertion that Arrieta would do anything intentional to harm Jung Ho Kang is really ridiculous. And you brought up a good point too in saying that, you know what, the Cubs are the team that have the target on their backs. They're the best team in baseball, the best record, best run differential. You go down the list, and sometimes a team is going to do anything they can to take a shot at you to try to knock you off your pedestal, knock you off your game. Maybe this was just that sort of gamesmanship between the Pirates and the Cubs. You don't know. But again, I think most people in baseball would agree that there was no intent whatsoever on Jake Arrieta's part in hitting Jung Ho Kang. Moving forward, Kerry, Miguel Montero, who you mentioned, is back in the fold. And the Cubs are going a rather unorthodox route here. They're carrying three catchers on the roster, Montero and also David Ross, who at 39 has found the fountain of youth. And again, Tim Fedorovich as well. How does Joe Maddon plan on utilizing all three of these guys to ensure that they all get ample playing time to keep from getting rusty?
Well, I don't think we'll have to worry about them getting rusty. I think the Cubs are a little concerned about maybe overusing Ross a little too much. So they wanted to keep Fedorovich. The other thing is Fedorovich would most likely not clear waivers if they tried to send him back to the minor league, so that's the other reason for keeping him. And what's interesting is that the Cubs really can keep three catchers because of the versatility of the rest of the roster. If they need to, Ben Zobrist can go from second to the outfield. Javi Baez can play third or short or second or the outfield. You know, you've got Chris Bryant, who's been moving back and forth between left field and third base. And because of all the versatility on the rest of the roster, they can afford to go with the three. Now, they started last season with three catchers because they had Wellington Castillo and then eventually traded him. I think right now, because Montero has had a back injury, which anybody who's had a back injury knows that you have to really do your exercises and be careful with that. And because you've got Ross, who's 39, I think having a third catcher is not such a bad idea. And Fedorovich and I talked on Sunday, and he said he can play first base. He's got, you know, he could also sub there. And the way Joe likes to do, you know, move players around, he could come in easily late in a game. You know, let's say Lester pitches, goes seven innings, they take Lester out, they take Ross out, they could put Fedorovich in there if they needed to give Ross just a little bit of a break. So it just gives Joe one more piece to play with.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's become such a big thing these past few years in baseball, especially defensive versatility. It's just so huge. You have guys that can play multiple spots, and that enables you to carry three catchers on the roster as the Cubs are doing. And it's working out great so far, no question there. I want to go back to what was statistically the Cubs' low point of the season. They lost their first back-to-back games all year on the same day, as we mentioned at the top. Wednesday swept in a day-night doubleheader by the Padres. But I think my favorite moment from that game, or that pair of games, was John Lackey in the nightcap. He gave up the home run to Christian Bethencourt, a guy who's, I don't know if he's got 10 career home runs, you know, maybe not even five. But Bethancourt pimped it a little bit. Everybody saw it, and Lackey certainly saw it, and we clearly saw what he yelled to Bethancourt. Anybody that can read lips can decipher what John Lackey said. Nothing we can repeat here, of course. But, Kerry, I think it's so great that, you know, I've always been a big John Lackey fan, and Lackey's not a bad guy by any means, but he's not Mr. Warm and Fuzzy either. And I think to have a guy like that, a guy that gives a team an edge, that's just one of those intangibles that could turn a good team, even a great team, into a championship team. And I just love that he gives that sort of presence for the Cubs right now.
Yeah, I really can't add anything to that. I mean, that's kind of why they got him. It's just for that edge.
And he's provided that and then some for the Cubs. And, you know, like I said, a moment that Lackey wants back, he'd want that pitch back, you know, 10 times out of 10. But he said after the game, you know, I have a long memory. I'm going to remember this. And, you know, he certainly will the next time the Cubs and Padres lock horns, presumably in San Diego. Kerry, to wrap up here, 9-game road trip coming up beginning Tuesday night, the first of three in Milwaukee. Give me one or two storylines that you're kind of keeping an eye on for these next 9 games for the Cubs.
Well, it will be interesting just to see how they do use the three catchers. I know what's happened recently with Montero being out is that Lackey really enjoys throwing to Ross, so it'll be interesting if they pair them up. I'm curious to see just there's been some talk about trying to figure out what with Soler and his development. It'd be nice to get him on a hot streak a little bit, and maybe playing in the dome will be good. I know Cub fans are just anxiously awaiting Jason Hayward's first home run with the team. I mean, every time the guy hits a fly ball, there's this huge cheer, and then there's a sigh when it lands in somebody's glove. It's not as if he isn't contributing, but it's just you just want to get that done, you know, just get that out of the way. So. It's just little things like that. You hope, at least from the Cubs fans' perspective, you know, they've played some pretty tough games here with the Pirates and with the Nationals. Let's just hope that there's no letdown when they go out there and face the Brewers, because then they've got a pretty tough weekend coming up against the Giants.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting 9 games for the Cubs, no doubt about that, beginning on Tuesday night again at Miller Park and in Milwaukee. Kerry Muscat, we thank you for the time as always. We'll do it again next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Chicago Cubs.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.